We finished last time on the theme that the truth is in Jesus. And in a world full of change, how wonderful to know that that is still true. In Malachi, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. And in Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And God is unchangeable. His word is unchangeable. The truth and connection with Him is unchangeable. So this, in a world that is full of uncertainty and instability, people's ideas changing, moral values changing, as far as the world is concerned, how comforting it is to know that here is real stability. If you've come to God through the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted Him as your Savior, believing He died on the cross for you and shed His blood for you, and that is enough, you need do nothing else. You don't have to join church, you don't have to be baptized, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you come in this way, then you come to the one who could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. And today I'm thankful that the truth is in Jesus. Now, following from that, he deals with what we might call the process of sanctification in verses 22 and 24. As Christians now, if we are the children of God, how should we live? What is the process that we should go through? So he says to us in verse 22, that you put away as concerning your former way of life, the old man, that grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Aren't those good verses? What a practical thing Christianity is. Now, it's an appeal to the will. These are things you can choose to do or choose not to do. If you are a Christian, you chose to come to the Lord Jesus. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And the Lord says, look unto me and be saved. So that it's an appeal to the will, to us to turn from our sin and to trust Him. Now, after we are Christians, there's still that will. We make choices every day, don't we? You're making choices this morning. You're choosing all through the day, choosing different things you're going to do, things you're going to watch, things you're going to be involved in. Now, here Paul says, put away the old man or the old flesh, the old life, the old nature. Don't give in to it. Put it away. And he describes that old nature as something that grows corrupt. In other words, it's going to get worse. Something that is rotten never gets better of itself, does it? If you have a piece of fruit, for example, that is rotting, maybe you have an apple and a worm has gotten into it and there's some rot that has started. Just put that apple on the windowsill and watch it. After a few days, is it getting better? Oh, no, that rot is spreading, and pretty soon the whole apple will be just a rotten mess to be thrown out in the garbage. And the old nature that the Christian has, and he has it just as much as the unbeliever, it's the same old nature, the same old self, is not going to get any better. You may have been a Christian for 20 years. That old flesh, that old nature is not any better now than when you were saved. In fact, it's worse. He says it grows corrupt. And the potential for evil, the potential for lust, the potential for lying, the potential for displeasing God in 101 different ways is always there. That old, rotten self, that old man, that old nature, the flesh, as another translation puts it. Now, how do we treat that? See, it's here. Now, he doesn't say eradicated. He doesn't really give any hope that it will be permanently removed from us until we die or until the Lord comes back. When the Lord comes back, we're going to have new bodies. There will not be this sinful nature. There will not be this tendency to do evil. But as long as we're in this life, in this body, that will plague us. It'll be there. It'll be like a fifth column within, always anxious to betray us. And we have to reckon with that. Now, he says, put away, put off, reject, in other words. Don't feed it. Don't cater to it. Don't encourage it. Now, when I come in, if I've been working on my car, and I come in with greasy, dirty clothes, I take them off and throw them downstairs to be washed. I take off this which is dirty and greasy and defiled. And he's speaking here of the old nature like that. He says, you consciously, day by day, reject it and put it off. Very practical thing. You say, well, how will I do this? Well, you're watching a television program, and there's something on that is feeding this old nature. Maybe it's a real passionate love scene or something like this. Maybe it's violence, something that just is not encouraging your thinking in the right way. Turn it off. You have the will. You can choose. You don't have to sit there hypnotized watching all that garbage. Turn it off. Your magazines, if you're taking magazines that you feel are feeding this old life, and you come away not feeling strengthened at all, quit getting them. You have a problem with someone of the opposite sex. You're a married man. There's a girl in the office that really is attractive to you. Deal with that thing in your thinking. Avoid being alone with her. Avoid these tendencies. Reject that. Put it off, he says. Put off the old life. And this is something that we have to do every day, because constantly there will be these temptations, there will be these appeals that are made to us by the world. And so he says, discipline yourself, reject these things, put them away. And on the other hand, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have your thinking renewed. Romans 12:1-2 speaks of offering ourselves to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world now, with its philosophy and its values, to mold you. But he speaks of being renewed in our minds. And this is what he's talking about here. We need this renewing. Well, now, how can this happen? How can my thinking be renewed? How can I think and view things as God would have me? Well, a secret here is the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God, reading it. Because here we get God's perspective. Here we see God's values. Here we have our love for the Lord and our appreciation for Him deepened. And we need this desperately. Or else all our actions will just become an external thing. If there isn't devotion to God, if we don't love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, we'll keep my commandments. If we have problems with any of the commandments of God, we simply have to acknowledge it's because we don't love the Lord. If we love him, he says, my commandments are not grievous. And if we love him, it'll be our delight to please him. And so through the word of God too, here, our love and appreciation for the Lord is deepened. Oh, to read and to read and to read again and again. I talked to a delightful older Christian man the other day. He's going to be 90 in a month. He told me, since the first of the year, I have read through the New Testament, he said, 5 times. 5 times. And that's been in a matter of maybe 8 months or so. He said, 5 times I've read through. In fact, he said, the last time I read through the New Testament in 1 week. I just enjoyed it so much. He's retired, of course, has lots of time. And he just sat there and he read and read and read and read and read through the New Testament in 1 week. Now, let me say, if you're spending a lot of time in the Word of God, reading it, studying it, enjoying it, your thinking is going to be renewed. Your values are going to be God's values. Your attitudes are going to be more and more those that please Him. You're not going to have a tremendous problem with sin in your life. Your thinking is going to be renewed. Sin is going to be seen for what it is. He speaks here, you see, of the lusts of deceit. Interesting expression, those desires of deceit. Sin is deceitful. Satan is spoken of as the one who deceives the whole earth. And his goal, you see, is to make the Christian get twisted in his thinking. So that which is forbidden becomes very desirable. And that which really, if he's thinking properly, would be ugly, now becomes beautiful and something he feels he must have at all accounts. And so his thinking becomes twisted. He becomes deceived. He becomes confused. How can a man, for example, leave his wife and, say, leave several children and go after another woman and turn his back on his children? He's given life to them. He's cared for them. He just goes off. He wants another woman. You have to say the man's deceived, utterly deceived. Down the road, 10, 20 years, he's going to carry that weight. He's going to carry that guilt. He's going to carry that unhappiness. He is deceived. And so it speaks here of the deceitfulness of sin, and that we should put on this new man, this new life, that will delight in pleasing God, that delights in righteousness, that delights in the things of God, that enjoys His Word. Put this on. And let me say again, I believe a secret to this change is the Word of God. If you spend time in the Word of God, D.L. Moody used to say, either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Read the Word of God, spend time with the Word of God, enjoy the Word of God, and you will not be sin.